Welcome to TASBOcast, the official podcast of the Texas Association of School Business Officials. We are the trusted resource for school finance and operations. Hello, I'm Tom Greer, Chief Communications Officer for TASBO. On this episode, we're joined by TASBO Executive Director Tracy Ginsburg. We'll discuss events from the past few months and get an update on public education bills before the Texas legislature.
Welcome, Tracy. It's been a while since our last podcast. I think we last recorded one with Michelle Trongard in December.
So much has happened since December when we last visited. Saying where, you know, you think nothing else can go wrong. Oh my gosh, so much can go wrong. You know, we were entering, you know, January, we came back to work and we had planned to have a very small, socially distanced in-person conference so that we could see our members who prefer to learn in person. We were going to try so very hard to give them that opportunity. And COVID just didn't cooperate with us. We had such a large surge there following the holiday. When we couldn't have the in-person event, we decided we would go fully virtual. And that in and of itself was a big decision because virtual is hard. It's hard on the individuals receiving instruction. It's hard on staff to coordinate and make sure things, everybody's connections are right and what have you. And, you know, I've got to give a shout out right now to staff. I mean, they pivoted and were able to pull together some great content, which we had over 2 weeks scheduled. And then we had what I affectionately call Snowbageddon. I never knew, you know, TASBO has had bad weather at conferences, and we've actually had limited attendance because of weather. Back in the early 90s, there was a conference scheduled for Amarillo where everybody was stranded in the DFW airport because of weather. And whoever would have thought you would cancel a virtual conference because of weather? When we come back together next year in Grapevine for our annual conference, you need to look for the guys in the Pixel shirts who are our AV team. And, you know, they were the only crew that made it into Austin because they got here early. We were going to have a small dinner with board members and award winners and have our speakers speak live to them. And, you know, Pixel made it, but none of us did. And so they were at the hotel. We had ordered food. And so our crew was well fed. And then we had staff members who'd been without power and water for several days. And so, you know, when it was safe for them to travel to the Hilton, we, you know, they went to the Hilton and they were much more able to work from that venue and sleep. And I felt better knowing they were safe. But, you know, our members were such troopers. You know, we continued on Monday and Tuesday of that first week. You know, truthfully, we didn't know how bad it was going to get. And our members said, we're actually signing up for courses on Monday and Tuesday because, hey, I'm home. I'm not going to be interrupted. I want to get my certification. And, you know, a TASBO certification is something that business and operations officials from across the state strive to get their certification because it is something to be proud of. And it is something that, you know, often it's a preferred job requirement. And so I was pleased that, you know, we had someone take 10 courses. We had several people take 10 certification courses online because they're determined to complete their certification by the end of the year.
It was amazing. We had 10 days of certification courses.
We did. And we're finishing up this month. I mean, yeah. We've got some courses that were canceled that are going now.
That's right. You know, and I think I moderated one of those certification courses on, you know, remotely. And I was just so amazed at the patience of both the online attendees and the instructors. Mm-hmm. I think it was intro to purchasing. I had Mark and Lori, and their power was blacking out on and off. They were doing whatever possible to continue that course. It was remarkable.
Remarkable.
The whole experience was, our longest conference in history, both literally and figuratively, over 3 weeks. It was just amazing. I was fortunate enough to see our keynote speaker, Emmett Smith, live remotely. Mm-hmm. And he did such a great job. Don't you think?
He was such a nice, genuine individual. I didn't know, I got to interviewing and I was a little nervous, and he was just so genuine and just absolutely the kindest man I think I've visited with in many, many months and many years. And his speech was very inspirational. Not giving up, which, our business officials haven't given up. I mean, there have been one curveball after another thrown at school officials this year, and we've risen to the challenge, and, I commend each and every one of them.
So it was our 75th annual conference and our 75th anniversary, and we're going to cover a lot of that in the next several months, but I think what you were planning is, we had a lot of activities at the conference.
Yeah. And
so next year, what's going to happen?
We're going to be 75 plus one.
I like that.
No, we're going to continue to celebrate. I learned a valuable lesson. I think 75 is a big deal, and this one will go down in history. But it's also important to celebrate what we do and the good we do each and every day. And so we will continue the celebration in Grapevine, but we'll continue the celebration moving forward. Interestingly enough, Elaine Cockburn, one of our board members, her first conference was the 50th anniversary, and she remembers it. And, I hope that the 75th, it'll be hard to forget if they were a part of it.
That's right.
So I hope there's some of our younger members who are still with us in 25 years. And when we become 100, can you imagine?
Oh my goodness.
Looking, they can talk about nothing will compare to the 75th. So
let's transition to the 87th legislative session happening in Texas right now. What's going on as far as what are the meaningful bills impacting public education?
Well, certainly right now, the Appropriations Committee actually is meeting this morning to talk about, how to distribute federal funding. There has been some significant federal infusion of dollars to school districts and to localities that the state has chosen not to distribute yet. We're actually 44 states have distributed the funds, and Texas is one that has chosen not to, and they're going to kind of work through during the legislative session how to allocate those funds. And so the Appropriations Committee this morning is meeting to talk about setting up a separate committee to oversee the federal funds distribution and what have you. But there's some other significant bills that have been filed. Last legislative session, we had House Bill 3, which was monumental and sweeping. And we really, the ink hadn't dried when COVID hit. And but we were realizing that there were, some fixes, as with all changes of that magnitude, that needed to be made. And so House Bill 1525 and Senate Bill 1536, they don't exactly line up, and we understand there's some substitutes coming forward, but those will try to address some of the House Bill 3 things. Those things that directly impact us as business officials. The fast growth allotment wasn't well defined in House Bill 3, and so they're going to try to maybe tighten that definition. So there'll be some winners and some losers if that actually goes forward. And then also the small mid-size adjustment, which is, for our districts which is the vast majority of districts in the state who are, 1,000 students or less. That adjustment in the way the formula worked in a nutshell kind of penalize them for some of their career technology efforts. And so there'll be a cleanup there. And there are numerous other cleanups, so those are the two big ones that come to my mind. Another argument right now is last legislative session, because of Harvey and the total devastation of Harvey and other storms, the legislature passed a rule that allowed districts to access disaster pennies after an emergency. And, you know, they were short-lived, they're for a year. But there's some discussion right now as to whether a pandemic is truly a disaster. I would argue that a pandemic is a disaster. I mean, it affected everyone in the state in some way. And while we may not have had to rebuild buildings, we had to upgrade, in many instances, our HVAC systems, and certainly our filtration systems, our drinking fountains. We bought more plexiglass than I shudder to think what's going to happen to all that plexiglass one of these days, and hand sanitizer and masks and computers to make sure our students could learn at home and hotspots districts. I talked to a CFO the other day, and they're spending over $4 million a year on hotspots on top of the technology that they had to, that they purchased to pass out to students. There have been significant expenses, and unlike in a natural disaster, they're not reimbursable by insurance. And, you know, some of them, you know, were intended to be reimbursed through some of the federal funding. You know, Texas kind of supplanted, which ESSER-1, which, you know, the economy was terrible. I understand in many respects that helped us get our hold harmless funding so that districts could continue to receive the revenue similar to their attendance of prior years, so that, you know, because many districts have lost students in the pandemic. But they've had expenses. So along those lines, there is another bill by Representative Huberty, House Bill 3445, that proposes to limit districts' ability to maintain more than 110 days cash on hand, which in effect would require districts to reduce their fund balance. So when faced with a disaster, districts would likely have to seek tax anticipation notes, which I don't know if that is in, you know, our best interest. So, you know, we've been trying to work with the legislature and help them understand why we need cash and why we need fund balance. Districts operate on a very different revenue schedule, and we don't have a lot of options for additional revenue. And so, you know, I like to think that we're all good stewards of our taxpayer resources. I know that our CFOs treat those dollars as if they were their own and are very cautious in their budgeting and expenditure patterns. I think as CFOs, we need to ensure that our board and our community are highly educated in how to read our financials. You know, we're infamous for putting up lots of numbers, but sometimes we don't provide the best explanations. And so we've got to get better at telling our story so that there is an understanding there. And certainly our community, our board, and certainly our legislators, because, you know, they're being asked questions and they need to be able to respond.
Well, certainly it's a very complicated topic that few people realize, particularly lay people and just people. It's hard to grasp how everything works together.
Absolutely. And putting together a set of financials is like putting together, I like to call it a story. Some people might call it a jigsaw puzzle where there aren't any, where there are no square sides. But, you know, anecdotally, I teach at Baylor on school finance every spring, and I am trying to walk through the financial statements with them, and they're hard to explain. And, you know, unless you're engaged in it and actively working in it, they're hard to explain and understand. And, you know, we have to do a better job.
Well, somebody who's doing a good job is Randy McDowell. I hear you visited his
board. I did.
Plano this week.
Randy was this year's Commitment to Excellence Award winner. You know, that is TASBO's highest honor. And it represents those individuals who are outstanding business officials across the state, and also recognizes people who have given service to TASBO. And Randy certainly exemplifies that. You know, I enjoyed my time when he was president. He was someone I could call, and we could have very thoughtful, deliberate conversations. And he listens with intent. And he has trained. What was fun was I got to hear the board talk about Randy and about Randy's leadership in Plano. He hasn't been in Plano all that long. He's had a career in West Texas, and then at two districts now in the DFW area. And they asked him how many school business officials he had mentored, and, you know, on just kind of on an individual basis, which is what Randy does. And he answered somewhere between 26 and 30, which I was not surprised by that number. He's someone that I would look to if I were new in the profession, because he can, he's incredibly bright, and he cares about his district and about his community, and he works to ensure that their finances are in order.
You were with him at the board meeting?
I was with Randy at the Plano ISD board meeting just this past Monday night. I was joined by Michael Stephan from Equitable. The Commitment to Excellence is sponsored by Equitable. And I was excited to have Michael. You know, it's a really big deal. And so we were at the board meeting, and we had the opportunity to celebrate together. We had two other honorees for this award, Wes Ebersole from Lake Dallas, and Marshall Schroeder from Conroe ISD, and I've traveled to both of their board meetings as well. And just to hear the stories about from the dais about how important they are to the school district just warms my heart, if you will. School business officials and operations officials, we kind of stay in the background. We recognize that instruction is what it's all about, but we're an important part of that role, and school boards across the state recognize that. Tonight, I am going to Cyfair ISD to recognize Sharita Franklin. She is one of our RISE Award honorees. Since we could not have our luncheon at conference, which is, you know, when I was at Plano, I told the board that the awards luncheon is kind of the culmination at annual conference. And it's, you know, the last thing you see is the Commitment to Excellence Award. And people, you know, kind of aspire for that award. But we've grown to 7,000 members, and we have lots of young members that we wanted to recognize. And so the board 2 years ago started the RISE Award to recognize those members who have 10 years or less experience in TASBO, but are already in volunteering and leading and are our future leaders in school finance and operations. And so Sharita is one of our honorees. She's in human resources in Cyfair ISD, and she joins 7 other individuals that we recognized this year.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, what's next?
Well, today, Emerging Leaders is in the TASBO offices. You know, that's probably one of my favorite programs. It is in its 6th year. And that's for those people who their boss sees them as a leader in their district and their next rising star. And they're here in the office. I'm listening to them as they work through some leadership activities. And it's fun to hear the voices.
Yeah, actually, in many of the RISE Award winners come from the Emerging Leaders.
Right. Program. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, that's what I shared with them this morning, that the majority of our honorees for RISE were an emerging leader. We will open up that application soon. And the next cohort will start in September. So if that's something that interests you, I would encourage you to start planning your case. Or if you're a leader in your district, I would encourage you to find someone on your team who would benefit from that program. The other thing coming up is summer conference. We are determined to have an in-person conference. It will be a smaller venue. We certainly will be socially distanced, but we're going to be at Kalahari Resorts in Round Rock, Texas, June 14th through the 16th. And we'll have a variety of certification courses again, but on Tuesday, we will have workshops on school finance, and we'll have a GR update, and just a variety of new ADA, you know, PEAMS. There's always a topic in PEAMS, and I want to birdwalk here, but my heart goes out to the PEAMS officials. Thank you for submitting, for, you know, turning on a dime and getting that special submission submitted. And, you know, you had 2 weeks notice to get a big submission in. So thank you. So anyway, we will, I hope by then we can talk about ESSER funding and how it's being distributed. There has not been a lack of education opportunities for you this year. And it would be our honor for you to join us in Round Rock. And you will, I believe the goal is to get that information out within the next 2 weeks on that conference.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And bring a child. It's a fun place. There are more pools there than I've ever seen.
So. It's also next to the Dell Diamond and Old Settlers Park, which is
amazing. Old Settlers Park is awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
Beautiful, great place to go for a run. For those of you who like to run and jog, it's a very well-known park at Round Rock. So unfortunately, I checked, they won't be here.
The baseball team?
Yeah, the baseball team won't be here. Why can't I think what their name is? But anyway. Round Rock Express. I love going to Express games. It's mm-hmm. a great little park, and come back and go to that. So anyway.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for talking to us today. We'll talk to you, catch up later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.